Now you know what it takes to motivate these people. They're motivated by avoiding unpleasant and negative situations. They don't want to be yelled at, so they produce. Now, because of this, the away from direction has gotten a bad rap. Another way of thinking about away from is it's away from problems. Many of these people are problem solvers. It's even in their language. They say, "Excuse me, we've got a problem here." They see a problem and they have to solve it. Sometimes they get so involved in the problem they forget where they're going. But they will solve the problem. On the other hand, toward-oriented people are going toward goals. And you can hear it in their language too. "My goal is wealth, or recognition, or excitement," they'll say. And some of these people are so motivated toward their goals that they may not even consider what problems they might run into, or what difficulties to prepare for along the way. If you're a manager, it's your job to understand both kinds of people and motivate them accordingly. Here's a strategic planning model you can use for both groups. Begin by separating these people. Use the toward-oriented individuals to formulate the organization's goals, where it should be headed. After that, have the away-from-oriented people identify the potential problems and help formulate solutions. By employing both motivation directions, you're using upside and downside planning. They're both very useful. One group figures out where you want to get to go toward, and the other one finds out what might stop you from getting there, what to stay away from. Good companies and good managers balance these very effectively. By this time, you've probably begun to wonder which one you use, and hoping it's toward. Remember, it's possible to be very successful with either approach. While the toward motivation is enshrined in issues of Entrepreneur and Success magazine, the less appreciated away from motivation can also make you very successful. Take Martin Zweig, the famous stock forecaster. He manages over $1 billion in assets. His stock letter and books are known to investors. Zweig's strategy says, "Don't fight interest rate trends. Don't fight market momentum." He uses an away-from motivation to minimize loss. He'll only take so much pain in the market, and then he'll get out. He has his style of motivation, and he respects it. At this point, let me caution those with away-from motivation tendencies. When you're moving away from something, you're doing so because you're uncomfortable, even fearful. These are strong incentives. But the further you get from the problem, the less serious it seems. Because of this, you'll lose some of your motivation until the problem or threat arises again. So be aware that away from motivation is cyclical. It runs hot and cold. Also, because you are moving away from things, you don't know where you're going to end up. Your attention is on what you don't want, not what you do want. This is what poverty consciousness and prosperity consciousness are all about. What is our attention focused on? Not being poor or becoming wealthy? There's a big difference. The other thing to watch out for is anxiety or stress. People who are motivated away from things often experience a lot of pain and worry before they're motivated. If you let the stress or anxiety level get too high before you react, it could affect your health and well-being. High blood pressure, ulcers, and tension headaches are all ways of storing up stress before we finally act. Stress management can be thought of as a way to moderate and away from motivation. The kind of motivation you use affects the quality of your life. By now, you may have a good idea of what it takes to motivate you. But there's another factor that figures into all of this: your values. What we value determines what life means to us, what's important, what we respond to, what we move toward or away from. At the biological level, this means moving away from pain and moving toward pleasure. Some people have built whole psychologies around this single principle. Others become so disconnected from their values that they sit for hours watching TV, flipping the remote switch from one channel to another, hoping to find something amusing or distracting. Too often we find ourselves on automatic and then afterwards wondering where the time went. During college, I worked for a while as a hospital orderly. I worked with many older patients. I asked these decent senior citizens, people who had lived most of their lives, if they had any regrets. Not one of them said they truly regretted anything they'd actually done. What they regretted was what they hadn't done. That they'd wasted their time on petty pursuits. They hadn't identified their important values and then done everything they could to fulfill them.